And so maybe this was the joke, but I graduate. I mean, my last class is December 9th. I turn 60 on December 11th, and I graduate on December 14th. So tell me, God's not awesome. Let's see here. We get everything out of the way. Turned around, turned off, whatever it is we got to do. God's got this thing. Amen. God's so awesome. There's something special in the air. We just got to see it. We got to want it. We got to see it. We got to want it. And it's right there if we want it. We're on the edge of, we're coming out. The Lord showed me years ago, the Lord showed me that we were, this church was marching through the wilderness. And that there was coming a time when the wilderness was going to be a thing of the past and we're going forward. And I believe with all my heart, this is the time. This is what's happening amongst us. And so that's why I said this, morning. I'll go home and say, oh God, the preacher thinks the sky is falling. No, I don't. It's called PNs. Anybody ever done maintenance? Anybody ever been a maintenance supervisor? Anybody ever been an industrial engineer? You handle things before it happens a whole lot better than you can handle. You can control it from happening a whole lot better than you can get back control after it's gone crazy. Amen? So that's all that is. So don't think I've got the sky's falling. I'm just trying to keep us going good. Amen? Amen. There you go. All right. Okay, so let's see here. Let's see if we get this thing running here. It did work. There we go. Part two. I saw those guys out in the parking lot today. You know, I told the guys, I minister to the heroin addicts again. I know you hear it all the time. I don't want to bring it all up all again. But, you know, I minister to heroin addicts at Pitt Detention Center on Monday mornings early and on Friday mornings early. And they said, well, once God gets a hold of us, are we going to be different? I said, yes, but let me just tell you something. I said, I pastored in Williamston at Life Builders Church of God, and we grew from about 50 to 150 in just a few months. It wasn't long. We just grew. And the church, I would say 50%+ of the church was ex-drug addicts, drug dealers, and prostitutes. And my boys would come from school and be really upset and looking all depressed. And I go, what's wrong, son? They say that you got to be a dealer. And I said, a dealer? Dealing what? They said, all those prostitutes and drug dealers and drug addicts, you've got to be a dealer in order to get all them people there. And I said, oh, yeah, yeah, tell them who my dealer is. I said, he's out there on Doodle Hill. That's where the church was at. Tell him he's out there on Doodle Hill. His initials are JC. Yeah, Jesus, amen. And so those drug addicts, they were talking to me. They're fighting. I mean, I'm not kidding. I told you, I go in there to be blood on their face or coming in there fighting, and I'm trying to get them settled down so we can talk about God. And so as I'm getting them settled down, I told them one day, they said, well, is there ever going to come a time when we just get along perfect? And I said, yeah, in heaven. Amen. And I told them, I said, those guys were so excited about Jesus. They would sing and they would worship and they would shout. They would shout at a drop of a hat. They would drop the hat in order to shout. But they get out in the parking lot and fight just like that. And so I'd be in there praying with them and blessing them and going outside and pulling them apart. You know, and so there's people in our lives that are very difficult to deal with. Amen. You know, a math teacher, I was thinking about this thing. Sometimes we just don't get it. Remember I talked about cognitive block and cognitive lock? There's two different ones, cognitive block, cognitive lock. When your brain gets locked in on something, then it blocks out everything else. And I'm going to talk about that maybe in a few weeks. But right now, you know, when you get that in your mind, that's how it's going to be. If you're not careful, it will let you miss what God's got for you. I've missed so many things that God had for me, and I didn't realize it because I had my cognitive lock on, or a cognitive lock. There was a math teacher, saw little Johnny, wasn't paying attention in class. So she called on him and said, Johnny, what are 2, 4, 28, and 44? Little Johnny quickly replied, NBC, CBS, HBO, and the Cartoon Network. That's my new book. Is that better? Yeah. Sometimes we just don't get it. Amen. I'm so excited because I see God doing something special. You know, you might say, well, what happened to what we have had the church full so many times? Yes, we have. And we're going to have it again. But I really believe that the revolving door is stopping. The revolving door is going to shut, and you're going to see a lot more come in than go out. And it's going to be cool because every church has revolving doors. It just depends on the size of the church how much you notice how the doors are revolving. Amen? So dealing with difficult people. Now let's just, we're just going to take up from where we were last week. I just want to, you know, Philippians, do all you can. Where'd my Bible go? I had a Bible in here. Oh, okay, there you go. I probably put it there. Okay. I was trying to just help out whoever did it. Because I do things like that. Amen? Very much so. Philippians chapter 2. Y'all stand for the reading of the word. I still need to get this out. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 2. Fulfill you my joy that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. It does not mean that you have your robots and you're all having thinking the same thing all the time. It just means that you're in the same direction, going in the same direction with the same attitude. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowness of mind that each other esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're so awesome, that you got everything under control, that, Lord, you know the beginning from the end from the beginning. God, you know what's for us. Lord, you know what's in our best interest. And, Lord, help us, God, to trust you and to know that you've got this, and nothing we can say or do can outdo what you've got for us. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister to us and through us. Help us keep our minds settled on you, our eyes focused on you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. You know, you can be seated. I was thinking about that, the cognitive block again, and cognitive lock. And all I can think about is, you know, Jesus, did you see Jesus ever doing anything always the same? He did things different. Some people, he grabbed by the hand and pulled up a dead person with an ancient son. He goes, all these things, he takes them by the hand sometimes. He rubs dirt, mud, spits in dirt, and opens blind eyes. Others, he lays his hand on him. He always does something different. You know why he does it different? Again, to show you, to keep you away from that cognitive block and lock, thinking that God does everything the same all the time. God is forever the same. He never changes. But the way he reveals himself, although the principles never change, ever, the way that he brings them forth does change. Amen? How many here today rode up on a horse and buggy? If you're driving a Ford, you probably thought you did. I'm playing. Look. How many in here today, when you got this morning, you had to stoke a fire in your kitchen to get breakfast going? How many here had to crush the coffee and put it in there? And all? We didn't, because things change. And I welcome new change. Amen? But you know what I found out? One thing... Watch this. One thing, I'm getting another sermon. I'm trying not to, but it just keeps going that direction. One thing every person hates, number one, y'all say number one, is change. The number two thing people hate is things staying the way they are. How many of you have some very bad things in your life? You just hope it stays that way. I want it to stay that way. I enjoy getting slapped. I enjoy getting hurt. I enjoy getting beat down. No. But then let's do some changing. Well, I don't want to change. Okay, so here we go. Let's get back over here now. Y'all said let's get back on target. Okay, here you go. How many people, I'm just going to throw real fast the slides that we had last week, just so the people that weren't here will know this. They'll see it, but I'm not going to stay on it. How many know people that remind you of this? Hands on the chalkboard. Oh, God. We all had them. We have them in our past. We have them in our present. You're going to have them in your future. You can't always avoid them, ever. You cannot avoid them, but you can learn how to handle them. So here's what we're talking about. This is how to handle people that are difficult. Number one, this was last week. Number one, make sure you're not the one being difficult. Sometimes we get so set on something that we think that our way is the right way and they've got it the wrong way and they're being difficult. You know, like the guys were riding around, riding down the road with his wife, and he comes around a curve and the guy's on the side of the road and he hollers, "Cow!" The guy got mad, thought he was talking about his wife, and he said, "Pig!" and run around the curve and hit a cow. Totaled out his car. Sometimes we don't realize, we're thinking somebody else is being difficult, but it's us. The problems that have their origin in our own heart. So let God fix ourselves first. I tell people when marriage counsel, the very first thing is, don't you try to fix your spouse. You try to fix yourself. You try to be all you can be for God. And if you'll be all you can be for God and be the best spouse you can be, I promise you, within weeks, you'll see a change in that spouse. Promise. May not be exactly, but it'll start anyway. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowness of mind, let each esteem themselves better than themselves. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So, make sure you're not the one being hard to get along with. I mean, those sandpaper people, they just grit you every time you get around them. Good Lord, have mercy. Remember this, don't try to change the other person. People change when they want to, not when you want them to. Y'all say that. People change when they want to, not when I want them to. Okay? So we don't know how to break them. We don't know where to break them. We don't know how much to break them. This is God's job. So you know, you want to get some rest tonight if you're trying to break somebody and fix them. Let me just tell you something. I'm going to help you sleep tonight and get some rest. Get off the throne and put God back up there. Amen? As long as you're up on the throne, you cannot fix anybody. Get off the throne. Get your husband, your wife, your children, whoever, off of your sanding block, off of your spinning wheel, and let God handle it. He can do it a whole lot better than we can. For it is God who worketh in you both willing to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. Or consider this, they may not be God, they may be God's sandpaper, and God could be changing you. Amen? And here we go. I'm almost through with last week. Don't lecture. Lectures can turn into nagging, and nagging builds walls instead of bridges. Nagging sounds like the fingers on the chalkboard, the fingernails. Since nagging usually creates more problems than it solves, save your breath. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman or man. Don't lecture. Here's the last one from last week. And I'm not even going to go, I read all of them last week, but I'm not going to do it this week. Ready? Don't protect them from their consequences. When you protect other people from their consequences, you're actually doing them a disservice. You're becoming an enabler. I talk to parents all the time, and they're talking about their children. I'm going, and I'm telling them, you're enabling them. If you'll stop enabling them, then God can do something. But as long as you're enabling them and protecting them from all their consequences, they're never going to learn. You're always going to be going and getting them out of trouble. DC and Daniel both told me, and they told Bethany, because one time I told Bethany, I said, Bethany, look, now you're 18 years old. I've been working with you and working with you, and you just don't seem to get it through your skull what I'm trying to tell you. So guess what? I'm going to back off and just let you have it. And so she said, oh, that's good, Dad. Well, about 2 months later, she said, Dad, why'd you back off? And I said, I told you I was going to back off. She said, but since you backed off, things have gotten bad. I said, why have they gotten bad? And said, because you're not there to fix everything. I said, really? And then DC and Daniel, she was crying to DC and Daniel, and they said, oh, dried up buttercup. Said, you ought to have seen how Dad did that to us. Said, Dad take you and just laid it out for you on a little bitty pedestal and took you in roses and did it for you. He said, Daddy got hard on us, but both of them said the best thing Daddy ever did to us when we got to the right age, especially, was he quit enabling us. And he said, you take care of yourself. And he said, that's when we grew into men. So most people don't learn new behaviors until they find out the old behaviors have stopped working. Now they're gonna get mad at you. I know there's people that'll get madder and fire when you back off. But when you back off, you cause them, you push them, you know. And I want to talk about this later on too. But an eagle, the way an eagle, mama eagle builds her nest is she starts out with thorns, big old thorns, thick thorns. And then she comes around and she puts tree limbs in it. And then she comes around to tree limbs. And then she puts feathers in it. And then she goes around the feathers and she puts hide in it. And those baby eagles are in there in that hide and they're so cozy and everything's awesome. But there comes a time when the mama knows that if they stay in the nest too long, it's going to be dangerous for them. They can't grow any further. So what she does is, the Bible says, is as the eagle stirs her nest, so God will stir Israel, stir us. Stir a nest means the eagle goes in first and takes away the skin. Okay? So now you're starting to feel just a little bit discomfort, but the feathers are there. As you move around, if you're not careful, you'll get a little thorn every now and then. But then the mama goes in and takes the feathers out. And now you got sticks and you got thorns. And man, is it really getting uncomfortable. When it's time, mama says, okay, it's time to learn how to fly. She takes out all the sticks. There's nothing but thorns. Some of y'all right now in your life, you're thinking, man, I used to have it so cushioned. It's not so cushioned anymore. What's going on? God's preparing you to fly, to get higher heights. So yes, it's uncomfortable for a while, but remember, most people don't learn new behaviors until the old behaviors stop working. Now here we go. We're going to go into this week. Ready? Ooh, what in the world happened there? Good Lord have mercy. That thing went absolutely crazy. Let's see here. Wake up. Wake up a little Susie. Wake up. All right, let's try it again. Let's try it again. We don't want to go with that joke again. Y'all don't can spare it another time. All right, here we go. We're going to get this. The PowerPoint's something good when it works. But I must have really hit something hard. Okay, ready and action. Don't allow yourselves. This is so hard. When you back off of people and let them suffer their consequences, when you back off and let them see a little bit what they're doing to you and everybody else, when you back off and let them experience some of this stuff, if you're not careful, you will allow yourself to become caught up in the other person's emotional outburst. I cannot believe over the years some of the things I've heard children call their parents. Call them. You know, and I wouldn't just, I can't believe you just called them that. I can't believe you just said that to your parents, but their parents didn't do exactly what they wanted and they let them have it. And I'm thinking, good Lord, child, if that parent pulled away, you wouldn't have anything. What's going on? You see, remember, when somebody gets in that emotional outburst, two wrongs don't make a right, but three lefts make a right turn. Did y'all know that? Okay. I just put it there for the fun of it, that part. If someone is ranting, or worse, ranting at you, or worse, maybe even threatening you, especially if you haven't done what they wanted you to do. This person is a very difficult person. And especially if they're only thinking about themselves, they don't think about you or the consequences. If someone's ranting or even causing or possibly causing you body harm, you have the right, listen carefully, to get up and leave. That sounds hard, don't it? But you know what? If you get up and leave, number one, they're going to realize you're not going to put up with that kind of talk. Or number two, you may even save them from a visit by the law to put them in for domestic abuse and or for being for cutting you or hitting you or something. Because sometimes when people get ranting, they don't even realize what they're doing until they've already done it, and then they're apologetic about it. So if I get around somebody and they get talking like that and I can't seem to calm them down, I gotta tell you what. It's like F Block. Now, this is how I worked in F Block one day. In F Block, the federal block, the prison within the prison, I was at the table trying to talk the word of God to these prisoners, and another prisoner who was probably emotionally messed up anyway, he ran across the facility and jumped up on the table where I was ministering and got right in my face. Just jumped them right in the face. And as other guys can tell you, if you give into that, you've lost it because they smell fear. So I just looked him right back in the face. And I said, when you get through, we'll finish this. Are you through yet? And he went, well, I guess I am. He went and sat back down and we finished it. Versus, oh, leave me alone. No. You see, kind of hard to walk away when you're locked behind bars in there with them. But still, when somebody is losing control, it's okay to walk away. Emotions are highly contagious. Remember this now. Emotions are highly contagious. If somebody's coming at you with extreme anger, you can become angry too. Have you ever gone to somebody and you're just as happy as you can be and you're just trying to be good to them, trying to talk to them, and they've done this outburst and blaming you for something you didn't even do. Next thing you know, you're mad and your whole day is ruined. Listen, it's okay. Y'all say it's okay to walk away. Say it. You ain't got to lead the person forever, but for that moment, it's better to walk away and let that person know that you're not going to be talked to that way, and also prevent any kind of domestic violence than to stay there and try to calm them down, especially if you're not trained to do that and or they're just beyond it. Okay? So make the conscious effort to remain calm. Proverbs 22, 24 to 25 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your own soul. So here you go, one more. This is good stuff, isn't it? Okay, here we go. Stand up for yourself. I see so many people just don't stand up for themselves. You know, either the person from you has been there's a lot of people in your life that if you're not careful, you might not even have realized this. They have become emotional bullies in your life. An emotional bully in your life could even be, it could be your spouse, it could be your children, it could be your siblings, it could even be parents, it can be friends, it can be coworkers, and they might not even realize it, but they have become emotional bullies. And they will run over you until you say what they want to hear. Or they will withdraw from you until you say or do what they want done. So it's very important you understand this and don't fall for that trap of being sucked in to, okay, if I do what he says, he'll quit hollering at me. If I do what she says, then she'll come back. If I do what she says, then they'll open up the gate. No, when they're being emotionally bullied, or when you're being emotionally bullied, again, stand up for yourself. It's okay. Look, watch this. It's time to start taking care of yourself. It doesn't require an angry outburst. Just be in a calm, mature, resolute manner. Just be calm. You know, I can tell you, the person. Whenever I think about that, look, Doug, I don't want to embarrass you. But I think about Doug. I've seen him at the prison. I've seen those guys come down on him, and he just go, really? Really? I'm thinking, somebody else would go, oh, he just went, really? Or he says, look, y'all just calm down. We got this. You know, and so when I grow up, I'm going to be like Doug. I'm going to change my name, change to Neat Hammer, okay? Be calm, be mature, be resolute. For he himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So who may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? Now, there's a lot of y'all like to be like when I grow up, but the reason I said Doug is because the rest of y'all don't go with me to prison. Well, some of y'all do. Let's see. There's a couple of y'all. Let's see. Who goes to prison? Raise your hand. You don't even raise your hands. Good Lord. Y'all guys are calm too, but I don't get to minister with y'all. Y'all were gone away from me. Y'all were everywhere else. I just carry somebody back there with me. All right, ready? I'm trying to dig out the hole I just dug. All right. So, here we go. Ready? We're all fallen creatures and all very hard to live with. C.S. Lewis said that. We're all fallen creatures and we're very hard to live with. Wow. So after you've stood up for yourself, do forgive. Watch this. If you can't forgive those who hurt you, you're hurting yourself more than you're hurting anyone else. I see people all the time think, as long as I withhold from them, as long as I just stay mad at them, as long as I don't talk to them, as long as I stay angry, then I'm hurting them. No, you're not. You're not hurting them at all. There's a good chance they don't even know that they hurt you. And so if you just stay in angry at them, we're going, what's going on, man? Talk to me. What's happening? And you just stay mad at them. And they may not even know they hurt you. The only person you're hurting is yourself. So, forgiveness should not be confused with enabling. I'm not going to enable them, but I am going to forgive them. And after you've forgiven the difficult person in your life, you're not compelled to accept continued mistreatment. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Here's my favorite. I practice this all the time. Y'all that know me know that I practice this all the time. Billy Graham said, a keen sense of humor helps us to overlook the unbecoming, understand the unconventional, tolerate the unpleasant, overcome the unexpected, and outlast the unbearable. That was Billy Graham, the holiest man in the world. Learn to laugh in difficult times. Life always has a lighter side. Look for it. But especially when times are tough. Laughter is a medicine for the soul, so take your medicine early and often. Proverbs 17:22. I got to read that one again. Laughter is medicine for the soul, so take your medicine early and often. And then finally, I'm closing. No one person can drive us crazy unless we give them the keys. I saw something yesterday where it says, so you cut somebody out your life and they're mad, but they're the ones that gave you the scissors. The same way, no one can drive you crazy unless you give them the keys. So here we go. Do accept personal responsibility. Amen. Look, make your own cornered world peaceful, productive, purposeful. If your world is a little crazy, which mine usually is, perhaps it's time to consult who you see in the mirror. Wow. It amazes me over the years. You know, it's one thing when you're in the middle of the battle and there's two of us and we're going at it. But then somebody from the outside watches and sees all that's going on and they go, hey, dude, maybe you ought to think about it. You go, whoa, you see what you're saying? I got to change? Hold on just a minute. Have you considered what you're doing? How are you handling it? It's so easy to let your emotions get in the way. And if you start thinking emotionally, you can lose out on some of the best opportunities to minister, some of the best opportunities for friendship, some of the best opportunities to receive peace, because you let your emotions get in the way. And then finally, with God's help, you can discover peace that passes all understanding. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. Before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Wow. So, BJ, Jeff, y'all come on up here. I want y'all to play something for us. DC's not here. Y'all come up and play something for us. Everybody stand. God is so awesome. All the time. God is awesome. It's hard to deal with people that don't want to be dealt with. Some people just don't want you to deal with them. They want to keep you off balance. Remember, somebody's trying to keep you off balance, whether they know it or not, they have become an emotional bully. All they want to do is keep you off balance. Do you know when, have you ever seen lion tamers? Do they come at the lion like this? Ever? How'd they come at the lion? Like that. You know why lion tamers come at lions like that? Because the lion tries to focus on all four legs at one time. If you did that, they would focus and they'd eat you up. But like this, they're kind of staying off balance because they get focused on this one, then they see this one, they get back off focus, they get over here, and they get over here. And so you can take that chair and you can do what you want with them because they're going, whoa, whoa. Well, emotional bullies. Here you go. Here it is. I turned you off. Emotional bullies. I'm sorry. Emotional bullies will do that to you. They keep throwing everything at you, trying to keep you off balance. They might not even realize they're being the bully, but they're right there at you. And you can never solve one thing because they keep throwing more things at you. When that happens, say, whoa, one thing at a time, please. One thing at a time. And trust God to help you work it out. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No looking around. Is there anybody in here right now with every eye closed, every head bowed? And we talked a little bit about this last week, but you could say, you could raise that hand just momentarily and say, yes, I have difficult people in my life. Would you put that hand up? I've got difficult people in my life. Now, let me ask you another question. Have you ever stopped and thought about, because you know they're difficult, you know they're going to be hard to deal with, you already put your defenses up when they come around you, and so there's times where they might not be so difficult, but because you've already put your defenses up, you're ready. You're protecting yourself. And if you're not careful, you have become the difficult one. Nobody looking around. Every eye closed. Have you ever thought about that? And have you ever been? Listen, when a difficult person comes, you actually become the difficult person. You want to slip that hand up? I have. Because I went in thinking it's going to be bad. And I'm not going to put up with it. I'm ready to go. And no matter what they said, I had my mind made up and it got bad. Maybe, just maybe, you know an emotional bully. And not only do you know an emotional bully, but because of their relation to you or because of the relationship you have with that person, you keep enabling that emotional bully to keep bullying you. Nobody looking around, every eye closed, every head bowed. Do you know some emotional bullies in your life? Would you put that hand up? I know some emotional bullies. I want us all to pray, all of us, to pray right now. Lord, there are difficult people in my life. And because of our relationship, I cannot get away from them. I need you, Lord, to help me. Watch myself that I don't become the difficult one. Give me the courage when I need to walk away. Give me the courage to stand up for myself. Y'all say it, I can't hear you. Give me the courage to forgive. Give me the courage not to enable emotional bullies. God, your plan for my life is perfect peace. And you said if we would keep our mind on you, you would do that. So I ask you right now, Lord, to help me keep my mind on you always, but especially when I get around those difficult people. And I trust you, God, to let me be a light in their life. If it means sometimes I have to walk away, if it means sometimes I have to stand up for myself, if it means I've got to forgive, let me be a light in their life. In the name of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I believe this week's going to be a different week for you. Some of y'all are going to go to work tomorrow right to start with, and that difficult person is going to come right in your face. Some of y'all are going to get out of here and the phone will ring and there's that difficult person. Somebody's going to go to a family reunion, and there they are. But you got some equipment now. You got some means, some methods. Ways to say no, ways to step up and trust God. The altars are still open. If anybody's got any other needs in their life, you're welcome to come. Yes.
And also for Georgia Road.
Okay.
Stephen's heart rate is running more than double what it should be. And if they don't get it set, the medicine I gave him by next Friday, they'll shock him.
Ah.
Georgia has went into that